Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, in this message, I'm going to talk about why it's so important for the church to embrace change. And I don't want you to talk about change for just change's sake. I want to talk about why it's important for the church to embrace change, because embracing change helps us embrace the next generation. And that is of critical importance in our world today and always. Now, the reason that we have to be intentional about talking about embracing change is that over the last few years, and in particular 2020, with COVID and all the social changes that we went through basically a time of great social change, and the kind of change that really accelerated things for about a 10-year cycle. Now, let me be nerdy for just a minute here. What I'm saying is, and I'm not the only one who's saying this, and in particular, there's a professor, his name's Scott Galloway, that gave some voice to this, that 2020 ended up being like a time machine, basically, that catapulted us from 2020 to the year 2030. Now, not literally, because time travel is not possible, but figuratively, that culture moved 10 years ahead all at once. And so when we think about where we are as people, we need to remember that we've gone through an accelerator of change that has brought us into the future, but in less time. So here we are now in the year 2022, but we have to imagine that we are living in a future that is now a part of our present. And this matters because change has been accelerating already before all of this, but when you go through this massive state of change, that means that the world is a different place quicker than you or I might have imagined. And here's a little secret. People who are part of the church, followers of Jesus, Christians, we're not always the best at embracing change because we like the things we like, and we like church to be the way it is. But as we think about embracing change for the sake of the next generation, we need to do so quicker and faster because of what we've gone through over the last few years. Now, it's not just because we've gone through what we've gone through over the last few years, but it's also because there's another generation that's on the horizon in our lives. Now, when we think about embracing change, and this is embracing good change for the sake of the next generation, we need to think about this in two kinds of ways. One is that there's a next generation of the church that's out there. Now, by that, I mean the future church. There's the current generation. That's everybody who's already here. And this is regardless of age. And we're in it to win it right now. But then there's the future generation, the next generation of the church, that is going to inherit what we give to them. Now, the reality is some of us will be a part of it. Some of us won't, because that's how life is. But we have to be careful with what we have now and prepare the future in an important way so that they want what we have to offer. But it's also true when we say the word generation and the next generation, we do need to think about the youngest people amongst us, the young people. Now I say that, and now anytime you say the young people, you sound like an old person. And I'm, you know, 39, not young, not old, I'm like officially middle-aged. And so I can say that we have to look carefully at what it means to be the church for the next generation, because I'm no longer, and haven't been for a while, a part of that next generation. And why this matters so much is because we're actually experiencing the impact of another new generation in our lives. You might be, you know, familiar with talking about the millennials. That's my generation. And, you know, now you can see that some of us have gray hair and houses and families. Or maybe you know a little bit about Gen Z. Those are some younger kids yet. But guess what? The oldest Gen Zers are finishing college and are part of your business community, I'm sure. And now there's a whole nother generation. They're so young, they don't even have a name yet. But this is like the 10-year-olds and younger. And you know why I know they matter to you? Because they're my kids. They're your kids. They may be your grandkids or your great-grandkids. But this whole new generation is here and influencing us. Now, we don't want to typecast anybody because of what generation they're part of or overgeneralize, but what we can see is that people are different. As much as people are people, because people are always people, it's also true that people are changing. and seeing how different generations live and interact and what their expectations are and their preferences, all those things help us to know each other better so that we can have a better understanding of what it means to come together to be one church. Now, because there are so many different people and so many different kinds of people, we have to look and learn from each other. We have to understand what matters to one group and what matters to another. We have to know what matters in preferences to one group and as a preference to another. We have to also understand what's non-negotiable and what's fundamental to being a church community. But a lot of the things that we sometimes stick to aren't as fundamental or aren't essential. They actually are our preferences. And because of that, we have to examine what kind of change we need to embrace and what kind of future we want to have. Now, understanding this fundamental dynamic that we have to go through because of the acceleration of change and the difference in culture and the impending generation changes, that's all something that is specific to our day and age. But this dynamic of having this challenge of welcoming in new groups of people isn't new for followers of Jesus. In fact, actually, it's something, like I like to say often, that is fundamental and has been around from the very beginning. Now, in particular, the dynamic that I think about when we think about what does it mean to welcome in new people and recognize that to do so, you have to change, is a dynamic that the Apostle Paul also dealt with when he was doing his work in those earliest days of the followers of Jesus. Now, you might know him as St. Paul or just Paul or Paul who wrote a lot of the New Testament. But when your testimony includes that God used you to bring God's love to the entire world, what you have to say about helping people come in is worth noting. Now, in particular, Paul was working with a group of people in the city of Rome, which was the capital of the Roman Empire. And of course, ancient Rome is in the midst of modern-day Rome as well in Italy. So that's what we're talking about. And as Paul was writing to his friends in Rome and trying to help them understand what was going on, he was trying to help them get their head around the fact that there was this new group of people that was clearly loved by God, but that they didn't understand how they could be a part of things. And Paul was walking them through that. Now, when we say that he wrote to them, we get to find that in the scriptures in the New Testament, and in particular in the letter to the Romans. Now, to set it up a little bit, we need to remember that Paul was always working with an existing group of Jews wherever he went. He would preach the message that Jesus was the Messiah and find people who would believe in this new way of understanding God's love. But what Paul didn't count on is that Gentiles, that's non-Jews, would also hear this message and also come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah for them as well and want to be a part of the community. And this was difficult for people to understand because there was this different group of people who lived differently, had different preferences, understood the world differently. They were saying, well, no, God loves me too. And so I want to be a part of this community. And the people who were already there, the Jews, they weren't always sure how to make this work. So we need to remember that this is the dynamic that Paul was writing about. Now, in particular, Paul was very smart when he went about trying to help people understand what was going on. And in particular, he wanted to help people understand that these new people coming to faith, the Gentiles, were indeed part of God's plan for the future. Because what Paul saw was amazing. What Paul experienced was stunning. He saw the Spirit of God come to these people and be in them. He saw them responding to this message of God's love, which all in told said to them that God was with them. And if God was with them, then God loved them. And if God loved them, then they were called to be a part of the community. And no one should have then stood in the way from that happening. So what Paul did was wise. He quoted to the Jewish people one of the Jewish prophets, a prophet named Hosea in particular. And any time that Paul would have quoted a Jewish prophet, a writer, as it was, a leader in the olden days, to them, they would have known exactly what he was doing. And they would have heard that authority and responded differently because if it was from the prophets, though that time of leadership, it was of great value to them. And so Paul quoted Isaiah to them, and he said to them in particular, as indeed he says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people, and her who is not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they shall be called children of the living God. When Paul would have quoted this to them, they would have been stopped dead in their tracks, and they would have heard, wow, God loves this group of people that we didn't think God could love, then they must be in. And put it in another framework, God's going to love who God's going to love. And if God's going to love them, we're going to love them too. That's what he was trying to get across to them. And because he did it how he did it, and because God was with Paul, it worked. And Paul helped these people understand and see that these new people should be included in the covenant community, that there was nothing about them in particular that was going to keep them on the outside, and that they needed to do what they could to bring them in. Now, we can see this pattern that emerges from Paul's interactions with the Jews and the Gentiles from then, but it also helps us understand what we're called to be about right now as well. But now, in our day and age, it isn't always just about people on the outside of faith and people on the inside, but rather sometimes it's about embracing people of different ages and different generations. And so as we move forward into the future that God has given to us as the church, we find ourselves in a very particularly important place right now. We find ourselves in a moment where we are called to embrace change more and embrace change faster to help embrace the next generation that is coming along. And the reason is twofold. The first is what I alluded to already, is that things have changed faster. And when the world changes faster, you have to keep up with it. Now, I'm not talking about change for the sake of change or trendiness, just to be trendy or any of those kinds of things. But I'm talking about when we together discover what needs to change in order to move forward together, that's what we have to do faster. And in our world today, change comes quick. And the church, and our church, needs to learn how to do that better and faster as well. But the other reason we have to look carefully and make quicker and better changes is because the next generation is watching us. Whether it's younger people or people on the outside or people who are skeptical, so that's, again, the people who are part of our future that aren't yet here, they're watching to see how we will respond. In particular, they're watching to see, are we serious about the message of Jesus? Do we really want to do the things that it's going to take in order to have what Jesus taught become the reality in the world? And the more that we do that, the more faithful we are, and the more attractive we become, because it points not to us, but it points to Jesus. And that's what matters, is that we're pointing to Jesus. And the other thing, and this is just a reality of the time we're living in, is that there are some Christians who have done quite a bit of damage in the name of Jesus. They haven't channeled Jesus, they haven't offered the words of Jesus, but they've thought they have, but they've done a lot of damage. Some of it's been PR and it just kind of washes over. But there are dozens and hundreds and thousands and probably millions of people that are watching followers of Jesus and saying, boy, you really don't know how to love. And you're giving Jesus a bad name. And so we have to be accountable for that. We have to look at what is happening around us and respond to that, not to cast dispersion or not to throw shade on those people, but rather to say, you know, that is not how Jesus really wants us to live. And then as a community and individually, live out our faith in a way that is really what Jesus wants us to do. Now, that's the situation. There's the dynamic that is not new, and there's the reason why we have to do it. But here's what I'm also going to share with you, and then I'm going to wrap it up, is that this really matters. It really matters that we embrace change at a rate that helps us show the next generation that we actually want them to be a part of us, that we actually want them in the room and at the table, that we actually care whether they're a part of our community or not. Because here's the reality. Just as it's true that we need people of all ages, if we want that to be true, we have to do the work to bring in the younger people. The people of the Fuller Youth Institute have given us some great handles on what this looks like in their work growing young. And one of the things they point out is that it's inevitable and inevitable and inevitable that we're going to grow old. But what's not always true is that we're going to grow young. And if we're missing an entire generation in the future from our church or from churches, then we're incomplete. We are an incomplete body or an incomplete people if we're missing an entire generation. And that is what might be at stake these days. The younger the people, the more disengaged the people, the more indifferent they are. It's not only about age, I promise. All of those different kinds of people are wondering, do you really care about the future? And so here's my invitation to you, whether you're a part of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church or another church, is to be someone who's a follower of Jesus who says yes to the future. I want to invite you to be someone who says yes to change. I want you to consider accepting the invitation to be someone who will evaluate their preferences and see if they're actually that important so that you might let go of something so that others might have what they think is important. And I want to invite you to be someone who continues to value a community that is full of people of all ages, knowing that we have to work harder to incorporate the younger people. And that's a value that I want us to embrace. Now, here's a little secret if you are a part of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. I know you already value this. I know we do, and I know we've embraced it. And so the good news for us as this church is that part of our call right now is to double down and continue to do what we've been doing. And for us, we need to take all of these things that are true about our world today and let it embolden us and empower us to keep moving forward so that we can be a church and continue to be a church that says yes to change and yes to the next generation. And so I want to invite you, Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, to continue to be that church, but maybe even be more so in this time that we have. God called Paul to bring the message to people that the Gentiles, that the non-Jews were a part of the church family. God's calling us to bring a message to the world and our part of the world that every person in the next generation is invited by God to be a part of the future. So let's extend that invitation as best we can.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.